it's important that we recognize where we are at in our lives, but more than that, where God is in our lives. We're in church. Everybody will say that God is first. This is how we are. But what about Monday? Is God first? Doesn't mean you have to have a worship service every Monday. It just means that you're aware, like that one song said, may we be aware of his presence more and more. Knowing that it's there. Knowing that these promises in here are actually real. I read an article, I think it was this morning, and I think this is where I caught this one phrase that says one thing that's holding up the move of God is that we're too busy trying to correct one another, not just to listen to what God is saying. I'm not talking about preachers. I'm talking about one another. But it also includes preachers. Because we all have a tendency to do that. Well, I don't agree with that. And then you go through the reasons why you don't agree with it. That's okay. Let's go to the Word. What is the Word? Have you ever considered that God might be greater than the knowledge that you have of Him? Just saying. I had to come to that realization. I've had multiple times where my own personal doctrine has changed because I realized it was deeper than what I knew at that moment. And it's not that I was wrong. It was just that it was deeper. I love the story of Apollos. I don't know if you know the story of Apollos. But Apollos was a great man in the Word of God. He was very learned and he spoke correctly. It says that straight in the Scriptures. I don't have the exact reference right now. But it says he spoke correctly. But then it says, and Priscilla and Aquila heard him talk, and they took him aside and showed them a more perfect way. So we can be perfect in our doctrine, but then all of a sudden God says, but have you considered? And then we go deeper. And I think it's important that we never lose that aspect of life. God wants us to know about him. There was other things that I was thinking of, but now I can't remember what they were. But oh well, maybe they'll come to me while I'm preaching. Maybe not. Anyhow, how are you doing today? Everybody good? It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord, especially when there's pancakes and bacon and sausage has made an appearance. But please pay attention up here for whatever God has for you. It might be the first word. Just so you know, the first word is the, but it might be the last word, which I can't remember what that is, but probably amen. The promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter, I think it's 12, it said that he will be a blessing, be blessed, and his blessing will be a blessing to nations. That all the nations will be blessed because Abraham is blessed. But then in Galatians chapter 3, God says through Paul that we have the same blessing as Abraham. So that means that there will be a blessings around us because of the blessing that we have received. So the people around us, our world, I like to say it that way because I've come to this realization that I can't change the world, but I can change my world. And I think that's about all of us. We all have that ability to change our world, the people that are in our world. Your people are different than my people. My people are different than your people, even though there's overlap. But you have the ability, because of the blessing of God that went through Abraham, that is ours through Christ, we can change our world. No matter where you work, no matter what school you go to, no matter where you are, you could be in the grocery store or in any other place. You can change your world because of the blessing that is on you. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, and I do want to read it to you. It says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. So I know people have had a problem with me speaking the way that I do because I do speak that we can be rich in this world. But the riches go beyond the monetary, but it does include the monetary. It can be eternal life. That's a rich gift that we've received. It can be healing. That's a rich gift that we've received. It can be provision. It can be absolutely anything that that God blesses you with. The Bible tells us every good and perfect gift comes from God. It's a blessing. Anything that's good in your life is a blessing from God. But it says, when you have these riches, no matter what they are, don't be gloating about it. But enjoy it, but be ready to share. Be ready to share. Matthew 10, verse 8 says, freely you have received, freely give. So just as freely as you've been given blessings, you need to freely give. That's the whole point, to be a blessing to others, as you are blessed to bless others. Now, that's not my message. That's the intro. I wanted you to turn to Acts chapter 3, if you are turning or if you are clicking, to Acts chapter 3. I want to read to you verses 1 to 16. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if it is by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. But you put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. Father, bless your word. Bless my words as I speak today. May our hearts receive what you have for us. Amen. Acts 3, verse 6 says, and Peter said, I do not have any silver or gold on me right now, but what I do have, I give it to you. the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And the guy did. I always say it. There's a guy that came for alms and he got legs. But anyways. What did Peter have that he gave? What did Peter have that he gave? Was that, sorry, faith? I heard authority in Christ. Okay. He had the ability to walk. Right? Peter had the ability to walk. He had Jesus. He had faith. He had authority. Acts 3 verse 12, Peter says, why are you amazed at this? Why would you even think that we did this on our own? And he says, as if by our own power or our piety that we had made him walk. Verse 13, Peter comes out and says it straight out, God did it. Verse 16, on the basis of faith in Jesus' name or his authority. You know, there was one man who came here one time and he went to somebody and he said, I heal you. And there was a lot of people here who had a problem with it. Not recognizing for some reason that he had just finished preaching from the word. But then he went up and he said, I heal you. And all of a sudden everyone changed and said, he's doing this in the physical. He's not doing this with God. He proved it by preaching that he was doing it with God. But then we knock him down because all of a sudden he had a wrong word. He did it with God. Peter says it straight out. Why are you amazed at this? Why do you even think that it is because of my piety and my power that this man was raised? He said that wasn't even it. Wasn't even close. God did it. God did it. I can come up to you right now and say, I heal you. Because God said, what you have, give it out. Especially in the church, we should recognize that it's God working. When you see somebody raising their hands, or maybe even moving to the music and dancing a little bit, we have a tendency to say, well, that's obviously in the flesh. God did it. Why do we think that it's us? We all know how lowly we are. But if we don't preach that we are lowly, then obviously, well, you're obviously a bold and precautious and arrogant. No? Bold, yes. Have confidence, yes. You know, I'm confident in what I preach. That's why I preach it. Paul says straight out, I don't preach to you things that I have not had in my own life. I only preach things that I've come to. Now, there are some things that, you know what, I'm still working on. There was a fourth thing that Peter had. So I actually listed five earlier, but in my notes it's three. He had walking ability, he had Jesus, he had authority. And then he did have faith, so four. So the fifth thing that Peter had. Peter had himself. Don't forget that he said, such as I have, I give to you. You know, I was down in Dallas we were in some sort of seminar that had to do with healing. And so they were talking about how to do this, and then they said, stand up and let's try it. So anybody have problems? And so people raised their hands, and then it said, okay, gather around them and pray. Now, at that time, I had a lot of victory over back problems. I'm suffering a little bit now because I haven't figured out the next step. And we're getting there. God is good. But at that time, I had a lot of victory. This guy came to me and he said, I have a lot of back problem. So I actually repeated what Peter said. Said, what I have already received, I now give to you. And I just touched him on the forehead. He took a step back and he's like, what did you just do? I said, I gave you what I had received. There's something to that. My dad, if I remember the story correctly, he was in some Holy Spirit revival meetings. I believe it was in Porcupine Plains, Saskatchewan. And they were asking people to if they wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And Dad went up there straight away. So did Dad's brother. Dad wasn't receiving it. He could not speak in tongues. He wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he was kind of getting disappointed through it. Spent quite a bit of time up there. And then he was like, well, why don't I just pray for my brother to get it? Because maybe it's not for me. So he reached down, prayed for his brother. And immediately started speaking in tongues. There's something to us. You know, Jesus is enough, but he can't do it without you. That's the hardest thing to learn. Jesus is enough, but we need each other. Coming to church is one thing, but actually being with one another and actually experiencing the presence of God somewhere other than here is amazing. Last Sunday night was a godsend. That rainstorm was, first of all, amazing. But secondly, it stopped a bunch of us from going to the demolition derby. We had church. There was no worship service. There was no preaching. There was Bible. There were songs. And there was a heck of a lot of Holy Ghost. We were in the natural. We were just talking. Natural things. Every once in a while, the Bible came up. And then we decided we need to pray. So we prayed. Nothing spectacular. Just prayed. There were words spoken over different people. It was church. And I was thinking, how do we do that all the time? Well, the short answer is we can't. First of all, we don't have time. Secondly, we have to want to. That's the key. To want to do it. That's the key in regards to living a Monday with God. You have to choose to recognize that God is there. God can move without us. But at the same time, he can't. God can heal without you being touched. But more often than not, he wants you to have a touch. God can provide without anything. But more often than not, he creates our minds to come up with ways to make provision happen. And that's not wrong. God can also heal by sending us to a doctor, by taking medicine. If we honestly believe that God created everything, then God created those things that go into the medicine. God gave wisdom to the people who created the thing that gives us medicine. And God gives us wisdom so that we actually take the medicine. Or in my case, not. I hate medicine. Whether it's in tablet form, liquid form, or anything. I hate them. This morning I did. I have to confess. God can work in all these things, but he needs us. It's important to note that, yes, it was God, but it was also Peter. Here's another example. Judges chapter 6. Judges is before Samuel and before Ruth, and 6 is before 8. I want to read to you verses 12 to 16. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all this his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian? So let's just pause right there. Does this sound familiar? If the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles that we've heard about, but we don't see today? Look at what's happening on the news. Lord, how can you possibly be with us? The Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Go in this your strength. Go in your strength. In your strength. The Lord looked at him and said, go in your strength. The Lord looked at Moses and said, what is that in your hand? Go in your strength. And Gideon did just like the rest of us. O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. I can't do it. I can't speak. I can't walk over across the street. I can't do this. I can't do that. Why don't you send that person? Look how good they sing. Why don't you send them? Look at that guy. He studies the Bible a lot more than I do. Go get him. Go in your strength. Gideon's strength was weakness. He said, I'm the least in my family. Verse 16, though. But the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you. That's the part we all forget. I can't do this. God says, yes, you can. But I'm so weak. Go in your strength. I'll be with you. We need to recognize these things. It was God. But it was also Gideon. You know, Peter had a part to play. He had to do something in order for something to happen. Gideon had a part to play. Gideon had to do something in order for something to happen. So what about you? What do you need to do in order for something to happen? Very thought-provoking. We could just sit here every Sunday for an hour to an hour and a half with pancakes and sausage and bacon after, and then go home, go through our week, come back and do it again next week without the pancake, sausage, and bacon. And come back the next week. Come back the next week. But what about those 6 days in between? What is God actually wanting you to do when you are feeling that you've been abandoned, when you are feeling that the world is coming to hell in a handbasket? And God is saying, what about you? Go in your strength, and I'll be with you. What has God blessed you with that you can be used as a blessing for others? I'm not talking money. What do you have peace of mind? Give that. Do you have eternal life? Give that. Do you have possessions? Give that. But don't forget to take care of your family, because that's what Jesus said. He said, take care of you and then share. We have that part wrong. We let our family fail because we take care of others. Paul even says it in Galatians 6:10. He says, take care of everyone, especially those of the faith. Anyhow, the biggest thing that we have to remember is it flows from who you already are. We all have this idea that comes from I have no idea where. But it's that idea that we have to improve, or we have to change, or we have to do something like that in order for God to do something through us. Not recognizing that God created you to be exactly who you are. So when those thoughts come that I need to change in order to do something, or I need to be different in order to do something, I say no, and emphatically I say no. God created who you are for this time and this place. He knew who you were before you were born. He knew that at 11:26 on July 27th, 2025, in Manning, Alberta, at Manning Family Worship Center, in the third row on the first seat, that Barry is sitting there and he's going to be there, and Barry has something to give to Carol. He knew that. He knew everything that Barry has ever done in his life and is ever going to do in his life, and yet he called Barry anyways. I can't help it. It's God. But he called each and every one of you. I'm just singling him out because he's decided to sit in the third row in the first seat. Every single one of you has been called of God to do something. But you need to do something in order for him to do something. Psalm 139:14. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. I love how it's worded, and I've told you this before, that fearful word. Because when we think of fearful, we're thinking that we're scared. But this is God. What is God scared of? Did he look at Gerhard and say, ah! No. Fearfully means that it's respect and awe. So with respect and awe, you were made. God was filled with awe when he made you for this moment, right now. Sorry, Gerhard. He's smiling. I think we're good. He made you the way you are for a purpose. Go in who you are and do. Give from what you already have. But when you get more, give from that too. That's the whole purpose. He richly provides for us so that we can enjoy, but be ready to share. One genuine experience with God will change your life, but don't let it ever stop there. Give from that experience with God, but don't let it stop at one. Yes, you may have had an amazing experience 30 years ago, but make sure that you have another one so that you can give out of that. We want it to be a continual flow to us and through us, a conduit for the fountain, water in, water out. It doesn't say that you will drink from me and I will make you into a pool of water that will just continually fill. No, it says out of you will flow rivers of living water. What water is flowing out of you, even if it's just a trickle? What is flowing out of you? Galatians chapter 3. Where is Galatians? I keep turning and there it is. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Are you so foolish? Wait, that's not the one. That's verse 3. Sorry. That was honestly an error. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? That's not it either. Let me just scan a little bit. This is a really good verse. Yeah. Did I write down Galatians wrong? It says that the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. Now I can't find it. God's grace was not given to you just for you. It was given to you for you, but not just for you. God's grace was given to you for others. The continuation of the story in Acts chapter 3 is that once this guy was healed, and Peter said, why are you so amazed at this, etc., 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 that the people in charge got ticked off and arrested Peter and John for healing this guy. Just fathom that in your brain. God moved, and then they arrested him. They put him in jail. And John 2. Well, then they were released because they couldn't find anything wrong. In fact, the one guy, I believe this is the spot where it says, you know, we've arrested these guys, and if it was of men, this will die out. But if it was God, we can't stop them anyway, so we might as well release them. So then they release them. Well, they go and they have a meeting with the rest of the Christians. And they got together and they had a time of worship and stuff. And then they prayed. Listen to the end of their prayer. But at that time, he who was born, oh, I got the wrong one there too. What is wrong with me today? What was I on that day? Oh, I'm in Galatians. No wonder. Haha. I did that earlier today too. In Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 30. God, do not take this as a distraction. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. And grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So they were threatened. And they prayed, Lord, take note of their threats. They didn't say stop them. They said take note of it. But allow your servants to speak with confidence the truth. And let your hand extend and perform healings and wonders and miracles. How does his hand extend? Oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and be blessed. It's us. We are his extended hand. There is no way that God can reach everyone in this world without us. Why? Because that's how he did it. He's not wanting us just to have religion on our own. He's wanting us to have relationship with him and with others. Jesus and others and you. And so we go out and give the grace that he's given to us so that we can give it to others. Father, thank you so much for your tremendous blessings that we have. Now, God, I pray that we will take these blessings that we have and we will extend them out to others. May we always know that when we are touched of God, it's not just for us. May we always know when you are touching us, when you are giving to us, and when you are blessing us. May we never look at it and say, well, that was because of what I did and my piety and my power. May we always know that it is you working through us. Father, I pray for each one here that the conduit will flow. There will never be a blockage, whether it be of doctrine or of situation or experience, but that that conduit will continually have freedom to flow. There will never be a stoppage. Water in, water out. Water in, water out. Fill us, dear Lord. Fill us to overflowing. And then continually flow through us. God, may your people be blessed. And may we walk in that blessing. And may we give it to others. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And amen. God bless you this week. May you go in his grace. If you could please keep me in your prayers. I'm going for surgery on Tuesday, and it's not a huge surgery, it's just a surgery. But I still need God to work through me. The medical field is amazing, and we're going to see that happen. Amen? Amen.